Yes.
No.
Want to do it? All right, we'll get this meeting called to order here. It's 6:34. I think we're gonna have a few stragglers coming in here in a little bit. Let's go ahead and do the roll call. Alan Waldo.
Here.
Earl McNabb. Tish Kennel.
Here.
Carl Taylor. Jeff Lipscomb.
Here.
Jesse Cummings. He's excused. Vern Ayton.
Here.
Tim Webb.
Yep.
Mike Bender. He's excused as well. Rob Matthews. Ron Corbett.
Here.
Tony Williams. So with Tony, or with Don, we're going to bring you up because we're short tonight, so as the alternate. We got, what, seven of us?
And Tony,
eight of us now. Okay. We've got enough. Introduction to guests. Let's start online, please. Anybody that's online?
Hey, Jacob, Mr. Chairman. This is Mark Richards here in Fairbanks. I just want to say hi. Thank you all for coming to our meeting last week. Look forward to working with you guys down the line.
Yep. Thanks, Mark. I see John on there. I think you're the only other one online.
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay. How do you sound your last name?
W-I-Z.
Okay. Okay. Thanks, online guests. And let's go ahead. We got our local biologist here. And then we have Don Bunsenmeyer in the crowd.
And Randy.
And Randy's there. Sorry.
Hello, biologist.
So introduction to guests is all done. We're good to go on that one. We're online and everything. Let's get rolling with comments and concerns from the public. Is there any of this time? Comments and concerns from AC members? None? Let's go on to the approval minutes of March 15th from last meeting. Did everybody have a chance to look over the minutes that Tish wrote up? I didn't see any.
A lot of fish information, so I didn't get it all. I'll remember.
Okay.
I move we approve the minutes of the March 15th meeting.
Okay, I'll second it. All in favor?
Unanimous. Okay. Having had to go through the recordings again,
yeah.
I really encourage everybody to speak up and speak slowly because I could not get stuff off the recording a lot of times. You couldn't understand what people were saying or it was so low. So whenever we do a vote, I'm going to say what the vote was because those people can't see us. They don't know what we're doing.
So would it be better for the microphone to be placed in front of the speaker if we do it from now on? Or
if somebody's got more than just a thing to say, they should come close to the mic. Or, you know, moving the mic is very noisy when you do that.
Okay.
At the other end.
Okay. The other, while we're on minutes, Jeff has the minutes from January 31st, and he got these all typed up. I've read through them. There's also a...
There's copies all around. It says minutes for January 31st.
This one was some minutes that we missed.
Yeah, I didn't get them done for the next meeting, and then I was missing in March. So
I'll make a motion to accept these minutes from January. Okay. All in favor?
Unanimous.
Okay, so minutes are all approved. Then the approval of the agenda. Everybody has an agenda in front of them. Anybody see anything that you want to add to the agenda or leave as is?
Well, we have the additional bear baiting, the 20A bear baiting extension, so we should probably list bear as an addendum to use it.
Okay, so we'll add a that in there.
The Grizzly 28 extension?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. With that, I move that we approve the agenda, accept the agenda.
I second it. All in favor?
Unanimous.
Okay, so let's roll into staff updates and reports from our local models.
All right, not a lot for you guys tonight. Looking forward to hearing your thoughts on the proposals. I worked with Jacob and Jeff on a couple, so it'll be good to get those submitted. We started the sharp tail survey this week. There's a lot of snow out there, so it's pretty tough going for that, but there is a few birds starting to display, so that's good. We're still waiting on our GPS splicing collars. They'll be getting here any day, and we're going to deploy those. Let's see here. We'll be doing the bison HQ burns. If the snow melts before it gets too green, we'll see how that goes. And then we did do the grouse surveys at the last week of March. It'll take some time to get that data all on the computer, so we should have an update on, in the fall, but then we meet again on the final results.
What survey was that?
That was grouse, the moose grouse. Just preliminary, it did look, you know, obviously less offtake than last year, but we'll get that all on the computer and, have a number for you next fall. That's all I got.
Okay.
All right. I'm Brandy Baker, Assistant Mary Manager of Biology for Panama Drainage. There's not much going on for sport fish right now. I did a class trip out to Quartz and fishing was pretty slow, partly because the dissolved oxygen in the lake's really low right now, so fish aren't really moving around, plus the Fawzes, the little freshwater shrimp that everybody likes to say. There was a hatch, so basically the fish have plenty of food right now to be eating. I just got back last week from a trip down to Lower Tangle where we're doing our marker capture abundance estimate on the Tangle Lake system. And so that was easiest to get down there in the winter just due to the length of the Tangle River complex, lake complex. And so we put the mark out on lake trout, so anyway, if there's a tangle this year, we'll probably see the anchor four tags in lake trout. We'll be back there in the summer in June once it opens up again and it's ice free. Other than that, we're just waiting for spring to occur and we'll start stocking hopefully in May, if not early for sure. That's all I have to do.
So you tagged lake trout?
Mm-hmm.
Are these ones you were stocking or did
no,
you?
No, these are, these are wild lake trout, so in the Tangle Lake, some, we're trying to get a abundance estimate, and in prior years when we tried to do this, we didn't understand if it was one complete population or if it was distinct populations. And so we did a radio telemetry project 2 years prior and found out that some of the lake trout don't necessarily move between the lake systems. So now we're going in, we're able to get a better abundance estimate knowing that pretty much Upper Tangle Lake fish kind of stay in Upper Tangle Lake and then Round Tangle the same. Round and shallow move amongst each other. And then Lower is kind of its own population as well. So we'll have more data in the spring of next year for you. We do have the text. Sorry, my voice is closed.
Andy, do you have any inside information or personal feelings about the focal line discharge?
I've been up there multiple times, and they do their water quality measurements, and we also have the contaminants project where they take the juvenile Chinook salmon and then test them for contamination, and there's never been any results from that that we've seen. So.
Good. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions for Brandon or Bob?
Is there any indication how the sheep did last year or last winter? Has anybody any guesses or how the winter went?
The winter was still on or the snow apocalypse last winter?
Just this year, this one. Up till this point, I don't
know. Yeah. We haven't really been up to look, but this year's been somewhat normal, except now that it's not getting over with. So right now, the next few weeks is going to be crucial. Just that, you know, in 2013, that's kind of what happened. There was snow, deep snow until June, and they were landing in the snow, and that's what we ended up with four land crop that year. So the next few weeks are going to be really key. The next few weeks to a month.
When do we start knowing? Isn't Tony sometimes on 28 when he starts doing calving? Doesn't he kind of check a little bit or kind of? Is that
not really. It's not really until we start doing sheep surveys in June, late June. Yeah.
Any other questions? No. Okay, thanks, Bob. And then we're going to move on to new business. The final review of the Board of Game call for interior regional proposals. We have four proposals going through this AC that we have generated. We're going to go through all them tonight. But I have Mark Richards on the phone. I don't know, Mark, did you want to talk about the three proposals you guys were putting in?
I certainly can if you want me to.
I couldn't stick around for you guys the other night, but when the gentleman was in up there and you guys just voted on it, but I do have some questions on a couple of them if you want to go over the three real quick. I don't think you need to get too in-depth in them.
Sure. We actually ended up adding another one. One of the proposals is to extend the grizzly bear season, the baiting season, from the end of May to June 15th in Unit 20A, 20B, and 25C. Another one is to go to a 2 grizzly bear bag limit in a section of Unit 12 within the Wrangell-St. Elias Preserve, to allow more opportunity to harvest and to put food in the freezer. We added one to better clarify bear baiting. When you're near a cabin, it defines it as within 1 mile of a cabin, or if the cabin is on the opposite side of a, quote, major river system, unquote. So we put in a proposal to clarify what rivers in the interior were a major river system, because they're really not defined. And the last one was to allow the use of night vision goggles and forward-looking infrared devices under a trapping license for fur bears. So that was the four, Mr. Chairman.
Can you go into, in the one that I'm more curious about, all the other ones are pretty straightforward for us, I think, but the night vision goggle one, can you go into the in-depth a little bit on that one? Maybe explain the reasoning behind that?
Yeah, well, that came from one of our committee members, and none of us believe it would have any chance of passing. He kind of wanted just to submit that to have a discussion with the Board of Game as to what, might be used in the future. But basically, the rationale for it was to provide more opportunity during the dim light conditions during the winter to take fur bears, with a rifle under a trapping license.
Okay. So, and then obviously that's under trapping, not hunting?
Yes, it would only be under trapping. You have to have a trapping license.
Okay.
Hey, Mark, this is Jeff.
Yeah, Jeff.
Can you currently do that with a hunting license?
Yes, you just can't use night vision goggles. You can use, so there's this, in the regs, there's an exception for light, but you can use a spotlight. And that was part of it, too, to see how far is a spotlight different than, infrared goggles kind of a thing. But,
okay.
Yes.
But you could use a spotlight when you're trapping, too, right?
Yes, it would only be under a trapping license, yes.
Okay.
Now, I should mention that, you know, this was, you know, while people might have not supported, you know, voting yes on it when it gets to the board of game, we did vote unanimously to, you know, to introduce it, to have that discussion.
Okay. Well, I appreciate the clarification.
I have one more question.
Oh, sorry, we got one more question.
So why is it trapping only? Why wouldn't it, shouldn't it apply equally to hunting?
So, the seasons, for one thing, are related to trapping. So, and if you look up fur bearers, you know, there's a difference to, you know, I don't know what to tell you, Jeff.
Okay. All right, I'm good.
All right.
Mark, this is Tisha. I have a quick question for you.
Yeah, go ahead, Tisha.
Did Tony have any responses to your proposals the other night? Favor, no favor?
Well, you know how it goes. You know, he can't really say on some of these things. Of course, we did talk to Tony about the bear baiting proposal, the extension of the grizzly season, and we had originally proposed June 30th, and that was a definite no-go, whereas June 15th might be open for consideration. So on that one, we're hopeful that the department will be able to support it. There doesn't seem to be any conservation concerns. Did not talk with Jeff Gross for the Unit 12 proposal. The proponent of it said that, you know, grizzly populations are abundant out there, but I'm not sure on that one. The night vision goggle thing, Tony really can't, you know, that's, can't go into that.
Is there any conservation concern in that area?
Which area, Tisha?
The shoe bear limit.
Tony's, he doesn't manage that area, so, we didn't talk to Jeff Gross, so we're not sure. That it would, of course, depend on if there are any conservation concerns.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Okay, that's going
to be for 12.
Okay. All right, thank you, sir.
You're welcome. Any other questions? Thanks, Mark. I didn't mean to put you on the spot, but I was trying to get some clarification on a couple of them, but that all short and sweet, and we understand. So thank you.
No problem.
But before we move to our proposals, do you want to do the next thing that was on there was the report from the Board of Game, or do you want to do that last?
Did I skip that?
You did.
Oh, yeah, let's do that one first. Yeah.
So I went to the Board of Game. I sent the report out. Does anybody have any questions on any of the stuff that's in there? I will tell you, public testimony matters. So, you know, if we've got something we really feel strongly about, the more people that can get there, and it took 2.5 full days to get the public testimony out, so you don't have to be there the whole time. You know, you can go and sign up, and if you sign up early, you should get that day, and if you don't, you'd be the last day.
The comment stuff, is that from over in the meeting?
So they only go over the written comments if there's a question, but they have all read those written comments. You can tell by the way they do things, and they're there. They also have one of the members designated to say, here's how the AC's voted. You know, I learned some things. On the antlerless moose harvest hunts, for instance, if the majority of the affected ACs don't agree, it can't be done.
So
that's like one of the only ones the ACs sort of have override on. So it's a good process, I think. It's a good discussion. I became a huge fan of Natalie Weber. She did a lot of work in helping everybody understand the regs and pulling stuff up.
Yeah, I got a question, maybe a little more comment from you on. First of all, I appreciate that. I thought that was the best report I've ever had from a board meeting, by far.
Yeah.
And as I read through that, you know, you made reference to extensions and then nobody explained why they abstained, which you kind of indicated that before. This may put a little more pressure on us. And I'd have to feel sorry for the board members, because I would imagine when I was a short stint on the Big Game Commercial Services Board, 2 days before the meeting, I had 500 pages of stuff that I was working with. And they must have the same. Oh, it's a lot. And so, for those of us that are writing a proposal, you've got to juggle the books between too much and too little. But you mentioned in there that pertinent facts should definitely be stated.
Yeah, I asked 3 different board members if they would prefer that everything was in the proposal or the proposal was short and sweet and be backed up with comments and testimony. Comments are good, and, you know, get as many as you can, but they all 3 said, I like it right there, so when I'm looking at it, I can see it, you know, rather than have to shuffle back and forth and go, well, that's in Exhibit 32A of, you know, of this book or whatever.
Yeah. All right. Well, today, we will go through these proposals. There'll be more comments or questions for you.
Okay.
That's one thing I was going to say that in your write-up you did was, I think you mentioned that also that AC's had more support. They all voted unanimously and no abstentions, right? Same thing Don said.
Yeah.
But that's pretty pertinent, right?
It did seem to be that when a board was split or, you know, more than one person abstained, it sort of caused them to question. It didn't seem to carry as much weight with how the board voted on those proposals. If you had multiple ACs that all were unanimous, in general, they seem to support that. But there's exceptions to everything, and I heard board members say things like, because of A, I can't support this. And then later say, well, A makes no sense, I gotta support it. You know, so, you know, like all of us, the guideline is a guideline when you don't want to follow it, it's the Bible when you do.
So it might be a good idea to bring this back up when we have everybody here. You know what I'm saying? We've got some of the team members here, and
right.
And there's been questions about the extension thing and all of that. So maybe,
yeah, we can
ask this real quick.
I think we can talk about that again, and we also need to talk more about as we get to the comments period, both for our proposals and those for the other ACs and what was any proposal. You know, we tend to put that all off until all of a sudden we've got a huge meeting, usually there's something else going on, and by the time we start going through the proposals, half the people are like, let's just do that. Let's not talk about that one. You know, if it's a statewide proposal or it affects any of our people, or, you know, there are things that aren't part of this area that are going to end up affecting us eventually, you know. If we set precedents for how we do sheep hunts or whatever other places, when it's already been done somewhere else, it seems like it's easier for the board to rationalize doing it in another place. So we need to pay attention even if we don't need to do something. And those people do a lot of work getting ready for that.
It'd be really good to have a review of that before we start ready for both of you next time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any comments? Okay.
So, yeah, same thing that Don said. I mean, huge thanks to you for going down there and sitting through that. I mean, I think that was huge for an AC to be there and, you know, understand better the process, and I think you did a really good job.
Me and Mark support each other the whole week.
Yeah.
And I had to do a good job. My chair was down there checking up on me every day.
I was too busy coaching hockey.
My local history biologist.
I appreciate it, though, Jeff. I think the whole AC does, too, so thank you.
All right, thanks.
That wasn't really much of a problem for you, was it?
What's that?
You're paying attention and doing it the right way.
Well, yeah. All right.
You better not if you ask your wife.
Yeah, ask about the honeydew list, then we'll see what you
do.
Okay, so on to our board game proposals. We can start. When do you want to start with this? Sheep proposal?
Sheep was on the list first.
Let's do it. Let's get it knocked out. Jeff really took a lot of time, and I think with him being at the board game meeting, it really helped writing this proposal, because Jeff really got to understand all the things that happened when 149 passed. Major implications across the state had to happen, and it was good that Jeff was down so he got to see what the, you know, Fish and Game has to deal with now, and how it all gets resolved every year. So,
and one of the things I learned is that Fish and Game implemented a new computer system this past year that does not allow them flexibility to manually manipulate things when they need to, which is one of the reasons why this was implemented the way it was, because they didn't have a lot of options and they can't keep programmers employed. So as fast as somebody learns the system, it seems like they're leaving. So they're having real trouble, you know, being able to do much. I'm a software guy. This is not complicated, but if you don't know what you're doing, I guess it could be. So that's something to remember, about all of the stuff. And one of the things I didn't put in here, there's kind of a fourth option, which would just be repeal 149, you know, in its entirety. And the reason I didn't do that, I also spent a bunch of time talking to other people, including Dan Montgomery, who wrote 149, who wrote 208, who wrote then a amendment to 208 when 208 didn't pass, and got it considered also, which also didn't pass. So, yeah, he didn't get what he was looking for out of the implementation of 149. What the reg says, what the code says, matches, but the implementation didn't match the intent of what he thought he was trying to do. And his intent didn't apply to Delta Control Abuse Area anyway. You saw all the numbers I put in there. I mean, it's clear that it's completely different here than it is in those other areas, or it has been. But as Bob, when he got me the data on guides, was quick to let me know, we got two new registered guides in area 28, 20D, after we ended up with six unsubscribed chief tags. So, and I would expect if it were to stay this way, we'd get some more.
Yeah. So with that being said, Jeff, do we want to, we have it on the screen, do we want to read through this proposal, or has everybody on the AC read through it?
It's been out. I'm happy to read it and talk about it if people want that.
The only thing that I think that we should possibly think about changing, and we should discuss it tonight, is I am fine with this proposal, but, you know, when there's a Fairbanks AC member that made a great comment the other day, and I don't think we should send this to the board of game with three different options. I think we as an AC should pick one of the three options and go with it.
I agree. But we said we strongly support option one. But, and so when I was going through and I wrote most of this while I was on the evenings after the board of game meetings, I did that because there were a bunch of things down there, and there were options, and sometimes they took one option and some the other. I'm perfectly okay with saying, hey, we just want you to do this and not having the other options.
Yeah.
But remember, then it's a go, no go. You know, there's no other, and I think they'd be fine. I know that there are people behind the scenes that were saying, please change it back. You know, it's too complicated for the implementation, you know. So we can say, yes, just all we want to do is what's in option one, you know, or we can say just repeal 149. But if it's repealed, I think that's up to the other areas to say they want their part done too. And if it's a simple language change to change ours, just take out that and five, and we're back the way we always were here.
They may amend this too at the table.
And they may. And they probably will.
Yeah. So
I'm perfectly fine with taking out option two and three.
I think we'll just give them one option.
And just leave the rest of it in there.
So you could be a category at the bottom that said, what are the other options you consider? That's still on the application.
No, it wasn't on the form this year. It wasn't. It's not on the form.
It's moving down there.
Yeah. So that they knew what our primary was.
Yeah. But you know what? When it goes, we can, you know, if the winds don't seem favorable to the, our main course of action, during testimony, we can always say there's other options that can be followed. So, yeah, I'm perfectly okay, and I do think it's stronger to just say, we want this taken off the Delta Control Abuse Area and put it back to the way it was.
I do too. I think it would be more simple, more cut and dry. You're convoluting the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like we say, we don't know with those other units, you know, whether they're wanting to sort of spend their
profit. None of this applies to any of the other units. It's all just different ways to change it.
Thank you.
The fallback is you got two other options because we as a group agree to either one of them and not get them off of there.
Yeah, that's
and
what I'm
saying. If we are going to leave monitor, at least we got, there's three options that we probably could live with. We don't know what to do otherwise.
Yeah, I'm good. I say let's leave it to one.
Okay. So let's wrap it up.
I agree that if whoever's going to be there needs to have those other two options with them to say, this is, if there are two options that we did talk about,
and as I learned this time, I didn't want to do
that.
I never realized, though, that in the middle of the meeting, you can submit an amendment. I never knew that. So, you know, you have a deadline for submitting things, but Dan Montgomery completely rewrote 208 and resubmitted it as an amendment and got a board member to introduce it. So that's always an option. If something happens and we don't like the result, we can always ask to do an amendment.
What do you think of that, Tom?
Well, I think in light of what we've learned or what Jeff has learned from that meeting stuff, we could simplify it and then you could take the other ammo down and look at it when they testify. I think it's, but I'm all for keeping it pretty simple.
Okay, so let's keep the proposal written as is, but leave option one, and we should be good on this proposal then.
I think so. Okay.
You have to agree.
Yes. Yep. From what we submit.
But take them as an amendment?
Yeah. I'll, oh, don't worry. It'll also be here.
I think that's
something we never knew.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'll make a motion that the proposal for DCUA sheet permits, the language stays as is, but we drop option two and option three from it, and it gets submitted from there.
I second that motion.
Ready for a vote? All in favor? All opposed? Yep. Thank you, Jeff, for taking the time to write this one up. This one was the most complicated of all.
I learned a lot.
That's the one for a series between the 5AC and 2.057.
Yes. You had 2 weeks to give me that.
I don't use it.
Okay. On to Bear Baiting 20D Southwest. Tish, would you like to present this one since you wrote up?
I can, sure. Has everybody read through it?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm wanting to make one more modification to this, and I spent the last couple of days looking for this, but I haven't had a lot of time, so I think I'm waiting right over the top of it and missing it. So I can put that in tonight or tomorrow and take it back out to you. As it stands, top portion, as you guys know, is what we voted up earlier and tried to submit earlier, and then I wrote in the bottom part. The only addition that I would like to put in here, after speaking to Tony about this, is that we want to go ahead and put in the range of these bears to basically demonstrate that these bears are moving in and out of these baiting areas and then and in and out of the non-baited area. So they're getting baited anyway. We just have this very small thing where it's about whether not being mated. And so we want to demonstrate the range on that. And I will pull that from Chris Brock's research data that he kicked out of here a couple of years ago, and put that in there word for word from what he has in his data and his research. And then that will be the only addition. So if you guys are okay with me just putting in verbatim what his words are as far as how far these pairs travel, that would be the addition that I'd like to speak.
So the one thing I did want to say is I think simplifying the regulation, making it all the same is good. But when we put in there this very small portion of land, this could be devastating. I think we're defeating our own purpose. Because if we're saying, oh, this population of bears, they're baited all around, but they get in here and it could have a huge impact on the calves, I think we should take out that very small portion.
Okay.
You know, I just think it sort of is counter to what we're trying to say. If it's such a small portion, how can it have such a big impact?
We're also trying to demonstrate that this is a very small portion of land and that everyone's baiting around it. So I'm looking for wording on how to articulate that and still show that, you know, basically we need to take out the predators here to help our ungulates over the next few years to get back on the feet. So I'm open to any terminology that...
Yeah, I'm just trying to think if there's anybody who's a detractor, that is something. It's like, well, if this is such a small place, how is it having such a big impact?
Yeah.
Especially if you're telling me the bears are already traveling outside of there to bait anyway. So that's why if you make an area all the same and you're simplifying the regulation, the board seems to really like that too. If you're simplifying regs, making it easier in the book to understand. Less confusing to hunters, less likely that Arthur's going to have to decide to be on this side of the line or that side, or whatever. So, just a thought, and we can just say every area surrounding this portion of the game management unit area without saying this small, because if we're trying to say it's this really small thing, I think we're defeating the purpose of saying we need to do this.
Okay.
I was going to make another discussion point on this one. I know we're trying to match the June 30th as well. So, you know, we got 20D, which is June 30th, 20 Alpha over here is May 31st. So, I don't know if it would make a little bit more better to the board of game to say, because June 15th, kind of like what they're matching over in 20 Alpha, they're trying to get an extension over there. Obviously 20D doesn't have that much grizzly bear baiting, I don't think, as much as 20A, but I know that maybe the department isn't going to support this as willingly, so maybe putting a 15th on there might be a better something for the board to say, okay, well, it's open for, you know, 45 days or whatever.
And then if they get that one, that's going to make the...
They'll be the same. Yeah.
Yeah. And
when is it north? I don't
understand. North, 20D North is June 30th. And then.
See, I think that's why I went with that. I went with that.
Grizzly bear baiting and 20 Alpha is May 31st. Right, Tom? Yeah. So, I don't know if it's something we should add into this. Is it a hunt date? Because, I mean,
if we leave it open, that gives them the discretion to say we want it no later than the 15th.
Well, they could make whatever date, right? They could say May,
right.
May 31st to me.
Right.
You know?
So do we want to set it at the 15th, not giving them that option?
No, I mean, do we want to give them, you know, what are we looking for as an AC?
Well, I'd like to see 20D all the time.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, you're just putting up 20D again, putting different dates here and there.
So we'll just
and then we're restricting ourselves because we're saying we want to simplify regulations, but we want to split 20D. That's my only problem with that. I don't mind.
Well, I think the other thing we're looking at is also we're opening up grizzly bear baiting in this area 20D, right? And if it was to June 15th, or if it was even May 31st, we're still going to harvest that quantity of bears. People that want to go shoot grizzly bears will have that opportunity and will be successful. So, you know, moving that date, you know, either way, the 30th would be obviously, you know, way more but I mean, you're still,
so
if the board game did accept it, I mean, I still think that
here's what I like, Jack, and I know, Bob, you can't, as a department person, you can't say, I like it, I don't like it, I support it, I don't support it, I get that. But from when you're asked about the population of grizzly bears in Area 20D, is the department's current knowledge that we have an extremely high grizzly bear population in 20D?
I wouldn't use words like extremely high. I mean, we don't know. We have very poor data. There's no secret about that. It would be nice to approach this cautiously. That's what originally we talked about, the registration permit. And I did talk to somebody that's submitting another proposal that does talk about the registration permit. But, yeah, I have to, the more cautious, the more supportable it is. May 31st is one thing I threw out, I think, to Jacob and Tisha, so that is what 28 and 20B are. And then if they're going to go to June 15th, okay, we'll, you know, match that. Just, I know there were proposals in the past for 28 and 20B to extend that to June 30th, and those failed. Tony wasn't in support. So anyways, that all comes back around, maybe this won't be super popular, or it won't be a problem. Maybe it will be. So, you know, if you have a little bit of control on it is better. May 31st, a lot less bears are going to get harvested than June 30th. But we don't have good data to...
I guess my perspective is I'd like to see it all match the same, whatever, you know, 20A, 20B, make it all the same. You know, same season, you can bait in all of it. You know, and that's on the basis of simplifying the reg and maximizing opportunities. Because I think you can't tie, if we're going to do simplifying the reg, it probably needs to be a separate proposal than one that's based on we need to control the population of bears.
Right.
And we get the same effect if we do it as a simplification of the reg and less confusing to hunters in the field. Mm-hmm. Just food for thought.
I've got two comments on that proposal, and you're hitting on it. The very first sentence up there says high population or something like that. That's the problem we're trying to solve. Based on what? We just made an assumption. And I think we should put it in there, and I've said this before, but I don't know that, maybe it's just me, that they want pertinent information. Well, how do we know it? If I, the game doesn't know, they don't have a real accurate comment on it. And so are we basing this on personal observation, or are we basing it on a number of sightings on cameras that are at base stations? If we are, let's put it in there.
So here's why I didn't put that in there. Basically, it's just anecdotal evidence. We don't, I mean, we can't.
What is that?
Well, I know, I understand that. But Jacob and I have had a conversation that I think, you know, the way he described it, Jeff was kind of saying that they don't really want opinion in there, they want data.
Well, that's an opinion.
I know, but I'm trying to, see, that was,
I mean, I could write another and say there are no bears in here, so let's not have any hunting.
Right. And somebody had said we need to put in there high grizzly bear population, so it went in. We can take it back out. I'm totally good with that. Because again, we don't have that data. We have data from Chris Brock showing all of this other stuff, but I don't have anything showing that. So I'm okay with taking that out.
But even the data on the moose and caribou populations, it doesn't mean anything if we don't know what the bear population is.
No, just the only data I'm talking about is your cat consumption and stuff like that.
Well, that's the next one.
Yeah, we do have data. about halfway through.
Yeah, 48 miles.
A mature grizzly brown bear will consume 44 calves. So when I read that, if we got 1,000 bears out there, that's 44,000 calves are going to be eaten. That's not right. They may. They found it on the read.
Yeah, up to 44 means 0 to 44.
One of them can. It doesn't say that they're all going to be
up to. Okay.
And I think that will says, well, we think they will eat 44 every year, are you fair?
Well, actually, I thought I had changed that too. His exact numbers. I did, and it didn't say. Because I have his exact numbers in there. For one female, one male.
Yeah, but I know. So, the word will is the one that's the problem.
Yes. Yeah, and I know. I didn't do that because you gave it to me, Don, and it just didn't save my changes.
Oh.
So
but I don't know. Maybe I'm the only one that reads that way. Does that not sound like we expect every bear to kill 44?
Yeah, that's why I went back and used Chris Brock's exact stuff on that. So this is actually the first one, and then I made that modification after you and I had that conversation.
And when you say exact stuff, what does that mean?
He had camera collared data showing that a female had eaten 44 in 26 days and the male had eaten 41 in 26 days. So he had that actual. And that's what I put in there, but it did not stick to this one.
That certainly demonstrates the potential.
That demonstrates the potential. And then, of course, you have the data guy. My question is, how many cameras total did he have? And how many, how was the average number of moose calves eaten by bears?
Well, that's why I put the sure and the ages, so that they know these are older. These aren't cubs eaten.
I think the average was like 23 or 27, somewhere in there.
Yeah. So I need to change that too. Need to figure out where the other one went.
Because in the end, unless the department does a bunch of survey work somehow this summer, this year, before this meeting next year, the department is going to be totally neutral on all of this at best. So I think our best chance, if this is what we want, our best chance is to try to say we want to simplify the regs across Area 20 and try to get the same seasons and the same rules for baiting in 20D, all 20D, 20A, 20B, if that's part of it. But that's just my read on it, because I think there's just a lot of questions about all that when the department's going to say, we don't know how many bears are out there. You know, and we don't have anything that we can hold up to say, we have a pretty good idea that the bear population is, we know the moose population is low, but, you know, maybe that means bears are more ground squirrels, I don't know.
So just put a question mark where high is. The high grizzly bear, put a question mark in parentheses.
Right.
Well, it seems to me that, and I don't bait there. When I talk to people that do it, they're talking about literally showing up on game cameras quite frequently, more so than ever, probably. And I think that's as good information as that, his statement. I mean, it's all anecdotal, but here's the reason. Here's the logic that we use to write the proposal.
Okay, so we're going to strike the first comment. What do we want to do on the date?
We didn't change the board, we'll just change it.
Or just leave it.
Arbitrarily.
Just leave it to them.
You could say match neighboring units 20A and 20D, and if that data has changed, you know, continue to match it, however you want to word that.
Well, personally, we can't match both, because if 20D goes until the 15th, we're still running it until the 30th year.
Well, they could make whatever date they want, okay?
Well, I thought, I haven't read this proposal, but I thought part of it was make unit 20D all the same.
Yes.
And then I'm saying match unit 20D to 20A and 20B.
So you're asking the board to make the seasons and the rules for baiting the same in all three units.
No, and you're fighting uphill battle there because, well, you might get it until the 15th, which is gonna rob us of 2 weeks up here. And I don't think we want to be given 2 weeks. you know, no guarantee on this.
I'm lost.
I think.
Well, they get the 30th up here.
I think most importantly is we believe that there's a harvestable surplus of grizzly bears out there. We would like 20D Southwest to be included in Fairbank. Right? That's our ultimate. What we're asking. Let it be June 30th, June 15th, May 31st. We want to have an opportunity to harvest a bit, a grizzly bear a little bit. Right?
You know, it could be open, I just like, the board decide or let them pick the date, I guess.
I mean, we all believe, probably, I don't know, most of us, but we all most probably believe that there is a surplus of grizzly bears that we could harvest.
I've got some pictures.
I'm all for your idea, but I would also say to make it consistent with the rest of 20D. And then maybe if you want to fight that, then with their hand, like the sheets, we can put the addendum in the middle of the an option in the middle of the meeting. But I'm all for making the 20 consistent across the board. 20D is whatever date it is, and the whole 20D be that way. Not there again, take this little area out and make it the same as someplace over there.
And I don't believe that you'd be in too much danger unless there's somebody in some data saying that the population is much lower than we're saying it is, that you're in much danger of the board taking away time because they are dad barns reducing opportunity. You know, extra opportunity matters.
Well, I mean, and it wouldn't matter either way. Even if we lost 2 weeks there and gained this area to state, it'd still be a win. But if they say, okay, we're willing to do this, but we want to close this down on the 15th, then that's an option. We would just have to accept that.
Well, let's just ask them to match, right, for now. Just let them match, because they're going to amend this thing probably at the table, right? Because they have all these other bare bait poles that are going on at the same time.
Yeah, we don't know who else is going to submit. You know, there were some times down there, there were 8 proposals submitted by 8 different places, 2 ACs and 4 individuals and the Professional Hunters Association, and they would take action on one and then just, you know, make whatever changes needed to be to take care of the rest of them and then take no action on the other 5 because they already had dealt with it in the one, so.
Okay.
So, Tish, what are you going to remove from this thing and what are you going to add?
Opening sentence.
Okay.
I don't know what to do on the date. And then work on the terminology about this being such a small area. I think I'll just leave in that, you know, we are able to bait in every unit around this area, but take the small out and just leave that.
Okay.
Yeah, and again, I think this simplifies the reg that reduces confusion in the field is probably more powerful than all this stuff about killing those other stuff when we don't know how many bears are out there, other than we think there's a lot.
Right.
You know, so, yeah, keeping that in there is good. And if we want to talk about dates, you know, recommend extending the date or making it to June 30th.
To
not only to match 20B North, but to maximize opportunity to harvest bears.
Okay.
It's all about allocation and opportunity for a lot of the board guys.
Yes, they do want allocation.
Yes, they do. The department doesn't deal in allocation. The board absolutely deals in allocation.
Absolutely.
The department will always say the department is neutral on this as it is an allocated issue. I heard it 500 times.
Right.
Okay. So with those corrections to that proposal, are we ready for the vote?
I move we approve it as to be amended.
I'll second it.
And then I will give this to you right away. It's just up to going before our next meeting. So.
Yeah. Yep. No, we'll get them all. If you send a Word document or the PDF with all the final, we'll get there. So all in favor of the 20D fairbank proposal? In favor?
That's unanimous.
Yep.
Then the Grizzlies all turn out.
I just said that. I have pictures
of
bears in my backyard.
Okay. Let's go on to the Moose registration proposal. Registration type for 20D.
This is for the Moose.
This is for the Moose.
This is the one you wrote.
Yes. No, you wrote it.
Oh, the registration tag, yeah. Okay. Okay. Yeah. So, this one I made it really short. Somebody did send me a note that I think I made a change already. Any comments on this one?
I think the only one was Earl that commented in today. He commented email.
Oh, yeah.
And I concurred that comment.
So I'll read it real quick. He would like to see the phrase, which has extensive road network access to hunting areas, removed. So.
Okay. That is in the same keeping with Tony's proposal.
Yeah.
You know, for 20A, 20B. And I'm sorry. That's a true statement, and that's one of the reasons that we only do a limited number of drawing tags in the Delta management area, because there's a lot of trail and road access that makes Moose easy to get to in this area. Yeah. So I understand Earl's logic, but I don't agree with it.
Okay. Is it necessary for what we're wanting?
I think honestly the way this is written, with working with Tony and Jeff, I believe the wording in this is very well, and it's going to get what we want because what we're looking for is better statistics. Essentially, this isn't a registration tag that's being put out there for, you know, thinking we're going to over harvest something. So, and this matches basically what Tony is doing over in 20 Alpha as well. So.
Okay.
I think I'm okay with the way it's in.
And that's why that's in there, because Tony had that.
Okay.
Because we were trying to match the languages as much as possible, because it's very likely that the board might put those together too when they, after they're reading.
Yeah, because I mean, essentially all we're asking for is, like, you know, when Bob has his October meeting, you know, Bob can come here and say, okay, here's the data. Here's what I got. How many hunters? How many harvested? And hopefully you can have that information in October instead of February. You know?
Well, if you had a comment on the number of days to turn in your harvest report, then should this 14 work?
Yeah, 14 is fine. It's, yeah.
It's consistent.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's what Tony's putting in his as well.
Okay.
Because I had originally written this with, you know, much faster, you know, thinking we want it in season data.
Sure.
And then I got corrected.
Simple fire.
Yeah.
Consistency.
So I'll make a motion for this one, unless anybody has anything else. I'll make a motion we support the registration tag for 20D.
I'll second it.
Call for the vote. All in favor?
Okay. Unanimous.
Okay. And we're going to go into the youth drawing hunt. I am getting that one up as is right here. So the youth hunt, I work with Bob and Natalie, right?
Mm-hmm.
Out of Fairbanks.
And she's
in Palmer. Oh, she's in, yeah, okay, she's in Palmer, but she's the regulation specialist lady. And, I mean, you guys can look it over. Don did some pencil whipping for me, and we added some stuff to it, but I like the way it's written. I think we've had several people look at it, but if you guys see anything that you see that we may need to add to it, we can.
One of the things that they asked you to do, and Bob and Brandy, you can tell me, is to provide the suggested language for the regulation. Do we need to do that, or we need for this one, we just leave that up to the board to figure out what the right language is to implement this?
Say that again. What do you mean?
So what it says, please provide draft regulatory language if possible. What you want either the code or the handy-dandy to say.
Oh, no.
And I'm asking is, do we really need to do that, or are we okay to just say, here's what we want to happen, and let the department and the board figure out what the actual regulation change needs to say to make that happen?
I think that's why they have the board support person there, right? At the board game?
Well, if you notice, in the proposal book, most of the proposals have the new language of what it's supposed to. Everyone in the department writes is written that way. I know. And most of them, because you read the instructions, they say, write a short explanation. To assist in the development of your issue, you want to consider printer type of proposal like you'd like to see it appear in the regulation. The board prefers that revised language is provided. New or amended text should appear first and be in bold text and underlined. Regulatory text being deleted should be fully capitalized and enclosed in brackets. So, just that, I mean, I'm not saying we have to do that. I don't know if that makes it better or not. As far as
getting done. I think, well, I mean, honestly, go ahead.
I'd be happy to try and, I think I definitely understand what you're saying, and it certainly makes it easier, I think, for both the department staff and the board members to kind of imagine exactly how your proposed change would potentially impact other aspects of regulation. Oftentimes there are proposals that definitely don't have, either they'd be for a new section or the proposer doesn't include that the new language or the changed language specifically in regulation. That is what the regulation specialist, who's always at board meetings, that's really their like final job is any proposals that do get passed is to make sure that the language being passed will work with current regulations. So when you see kind of the flurry of RCs going around at the end of a meeting, that's usually what that's about. If you don't feel comfortable trying to find that language before submitting that proposal, I don't think that will diminish the traction your proposal would have. It'll still generate all the same opportunity for public comment and AC comment next fall. And your AC could always submit a comment for your proposal with either the specific language that you're all talking about tonight, or new language that something new comes to light over the summer season or whatever. That might give you some more time to kind of connect with Bob or other wildlife staff that would be able to help point you in the right direction of where that language should be to make sure it's accomplishing the intent that your AC is putting forward. So quite a few different ways to get there.
Thanks, Kyle. I'm good. Given that.
If you want, Jacob, we could probably get there. You're close. Natalie didn't say not to put the codified language, but we could probably come up with something like how we look in the handy dandy. It's going to be 100.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Okay. Do you want to work with me on that? Yeah. We'll write that thing up for
let's do it.
Afterwards. Or do you want to do it tonight?
No,
we'll
do it in a couple days.
So me and Bob
will be back to help too.
So we'll write that in there, okay?
So do we need to get with Natalie on these other ones and get language from her too, just so it makes these a little more presentable?
I don't necessarily know on them.
Most proposals don't. She kind of went out of the way to help on this one. She wouldn't possibly have time to do everybody in the state that's going to submit a proposal. She wouldn't be able to do them all.
Yeah, I move that we adopt this single-use plan as proposed.
I'll second that.
Okay. Ready for the vote?
Ready for the vote.
All in favor?
Unanimous?
Yep. Okay. So we went through all four of ours. We have one more proposal that is tonight, and this one was brought to me by Don Bunkemeyer, and I'm going to let him take the floor on what he is proposing for Grizzly Bear 28 extension. Yeah.
Everybody has a chance to read it? Or you can take the time to read it.
Does everybody get a chance to read that?
Yep.
So
pretty straightforward.
Yeah. Another thing I'd like to mention too is Fairbanks is putting one in for the same as well, but they're including multiple units like Mark Richards talked about earlier. So no one's basically putting in the same thing.
Yeah, and I went back and forth where I wanted to match theirs as far as the other two units, but I'm not as familiar with those areas as I am this area. The two other units there, including in this, these same dates as Point D, which Banner Creek coming up along the road, because the backside of Point D up in the Salsa Country is so still good. And then the other one is 25 Davis D.
25 D?
D, which is just kind of behind Fairbanks. And I did steal a couple of your comments in there, if you noticed.
Sure.
But I thought they made sense. I reworded it a little different than, put them in there. I think it's legitimate. I think it's time we do need to start harvesting a few of those berries over there that aren't getting looked at because they're not coming around until the very end of May to the first part of June. And I've documented that with trail cameras and observation over 10 years now. They're just doing that. Those trail cameras are very, you can tell a lot and bring up a lot of information with that.
So are you asking that for this to become an AP proposal?
No, not necessarily. I mean, you guys could, but, it's up to you guys. If you like it and want to put it in as an AC proposal, that's fine. Otherwise, I'll just do it myself.
Given what we've been talking about, I would be okay with us submitting an AC proposal, but not just limited to 20A, to make the season the same in 20A and 20D. 15 and 15 for all of it.
Kind of combine it.
Right.
For that part of it.
Is Mark still on the line?
Yeah, he's on.
I'm
here.
Yeah, so here's my comment that I was going to add here. A lot of times I don't even start seeing grizzlies until like maybe around the 10th of June, and then very heavy in the last 2 weeks of June. So for me to be effective there, I need that extended time.
I like the 30s myself also, but I also heard that Fish and Game didn't like it.
I was just going to ask Mark if Mark, can you speak to that? This is Fisher. How much made by Tony?
Speak to what? I'm sorry.
The pushing the date to June 30th?
Yeah. So, no, that seems like a definite no-go, at least in the units we discussed, 20A, 20B, 25C. That's why we lowered it to June 15th.
I wonder what his thoughts would be about just 20A. Because combining them, and see, that would give you enough what we need for the 30th and give them what they need for the 15th. If they amended theirs to say, okay, 28 can go to the 30th. You know what I'm saying?
We're not going to do that, Tish, and I've already sent them off to Kyle.
No, what I'm saying is if we extend Dawn to the 30th to match 20D, I'm wondering where Tony's having the concern. Is it 20A, or is it these other ones, or is it all of them? That would maybe be worth a conversation.
Yeah, you're welcome to try. The worst thing they can do is say no and go to June 15th.
Yeah. I'm curious what Tony would say about that.
The 15 other days, that really does help out, actually, at harvesting a bear, though.
Yeah.
I don't think you need,
I was just thinking matching arguments is all. That's the only reason.
No, I like the idea of matching. I wish they were all the same. But for enforcement reasons as well as the only other reason I didn't go with the 15th was I have noticed a lot of times they, by the 15th, they'll start rubbing.
Yeah.
And that's not what I'm there for anyway.
What I'd like to suggest is Tom submit it, and then we can support it with Tom's comment.
Or would it be stronger if we submit it after the AC?
I don't know that it would be stronger from the AC than if the AC submits written comment, and whoever represents it speaks to it during our 10 minutes of written comment. And remember, everybody can go talk. Even if you're not going to stay the whole time, you can go and get your 5 minutes to talk about whatever proposals we want to talk about. And we should all submit individual written comments, and as many as possible go and give oral comments as well. It's going to be in Fairbanks. I'm not sure where, but it's in Fairbanks. Thanks.
Marlon.
So I'll be there, so I can do.
I think it's a good idea, Don. Don can propose it, and then we can make a strong statement. And if we want to suggest a different season, a longer season, we can do that. And then they've got them both in front.
That's right.
I'm under the assumption I support it either way, that either we do it or Don does it. We will support that. I mean, obviously, I think June 15th is not out of the question. I think that's something that should happen.
I do agree with Don, though, that, trophy quality starts to suffer the later you go. And if it's all just about killing bears, that's one thing. But, a lot of people don't really want to kill a bear that will scrap.
No.
Bob, I have a question. With regard to extending it to June 15th or June 30th, is the peak calving is the 27th of May.
Roughly, huh?
Yeah. Well, that's what they're kind of using.
Yep.
I mean, it's kind of a hard, fast rule. Is there a period of time after calving when the calves are most susceptible?
Yeah, for that first week. If they're going to get an average
in that first week, I go on that and go into the 15th to cover most of the biggest majority of calves. You have to move it around and get out of that birthing area.
Right.
So So there'd be no probably additional advantage to go into 30 at that.
No,
our saving cap.
Yeah.
I have one other thought along those lines. Is now I put in there that potentially if we keep feeding them, maybe they'll leave the calves alone. But in my experience, they seem to leave the bacon about that.
Of course.
Everybody does. I don't know what it is.
They would rather eat
my food. If they like it, everything, they just like to go eat.
They take 10 days off having that.
Yeah.
And they eat. They go
That's what I know.
And then they come back.
And of course, when they come back, it's after June.
Right.
Just as a side note, I would really like to see them open it up August 10th also, but I think we just one step at a time here, maybe.
I'm with you.
Because, you got a whole different group of reasons for that part of it. But here, if we get this by, maybe we can push on the other one.
And get some data off of this showing that, we're not going to be disturbing that population that much.
Yeah.
Like they did in 13.
There's a lot of bears out there.
I
can testify to that. And like I told several people, if they shoot a bunch of bears, that means there is a bunch of bears out there.
Well, and Chris Brock's data was pretty clear on that. That, as long as you're leaving those breeding females, you're going to have bears, period. They will repopulate, and if the population goes down, they will populate to meet that void. So, we've seen sows with four cubs, and I think that's part of it. They're just filling that void.
Well, the mid-70s down here in Unit 13, the department of hell on holes. Then they found out that the bears were killing most of the calves.
Yeah.
They didn't have the research yet.
Yeah.
So then they kind of shifted.
Yeah.
They studied that early on the Chinook Peninsula. The black bears, they fall for even more heavy on moose calves.
Yeah, these collar camera things are amazing. Yeah. Do you have that research, Tom?
I don't.
I'll get that
email. I have been told similar. I don't know if it came from the same stem or not, but I've been
that's
told
the same
as that a long time ago.
I'll get your email and send that over to you.
It's pretty easy. dbunselmeyer@hotmail.com.
So, thanks, Tom.
Yep.
And we'll support you on that 100%, I think. Okay, so before we are going to submit an AC, we did those tonight. We'll get the final corrections, and can we get them to you, Jeff?
Yeah.
And you'll submit them?
Yeah, I'll get them to Kyle.
Okay. And go from there. So, next order of business is discuss joint board, 2023-24 call for proposals. Those are due May 1st as well. We don't have any proposals for the joint board. Does anybody have any on the AC? No.
I didn't have anything.
Other than that, that is all we have on the agenda tonight. So, I'm glad we got through those proposals. Glad we got them all submitted or getting submitted. So it's going to be good, I think. I would like to say, the last things tonight, I'd like to say again, thanks to Jeff for doing a lot of the write-ups on some of these proposals that were really hard to do, and also attending that board game meeting. So,
kudos to everyone who voted on these proposals.
What that?
I said kudos to each one of you all working out very
well. A lot of good work, guys.
So, on to the next meeting. We need to make a meeting for May. And I'll get a calendar up here. Third week in May is the 17th. Third Wednesday. Does that sound okay with everybody?
Sounds good.
And that'll be our last meeting of the year, and we'll probably do elections on that meeting. I believe there's, I have to look, but I think there's 3 seats that are up.
Kyle, do you know which seat, you know off the top of your head, which seats are up this year?
I looked that up real quick. I'm sorry, I was working on something else. You said the 17th?
Yeah, 17th.
Okay. I'll be off contract then, but I'll make sure that the staff in Juneau are ready to kind of facilitate things, and I can prepare some like election paperwork if you need beforehand. Let's see.
Are you coming back on contract?
Sorry, could you repeat that?
Are you going to come back on contract?
That's the goal. Yeah, I should be back probably after new season in September.
Okay.
So I'm looking at your roster now. Looks like Jacob, Alan, Earl. Those are the 3 seats that are expiring this coming end of June. And then alternates do expire each year. It's not actually spelled out in the regulations, so that's actually a joint board proposal that board support is submitting to kind of clarify and make a few changes to the way alternates work. But one of those is to set a firm alternates refresh each year, each cycle. So, yeah, so that might be something to consider on your election. So those 3 seats, I just mentioned Jacob, Earl, and Alan, and then the 2 alternates, Tony and Don.
Okay. And also, John and Mark, thanks for tuning in to our meeting here in Delta. Thanks for sitting here for 2 hours with us.
Hey, no problem. Thanks for you guys for everything you do.
Thanks for coming to our meeting last week.
Yeah, it was good to. I wish I hung around and met some of you guys after the meeting, but I'll be probably back up there to say hi one of these days.
And one of the things, Jacob, that I'd like to talk about at our next meeting, if not before, is having a joint AC meeting.
We're in the discussion.
We're already working on that. Okay.
Good. We'll probably do something then, guessing December, maybe November next year. We'll talk with Mark and definitely get something together for interior ACs together and do a joint board meeting so that we can get our comments and everything for the board game next year.
Perfect.
Support everybody. Yeah. I've been doing great. It's my understanding that he has also proposed this June 15th extension for the
university. Okay.
I tried to get a copy of that one, but I didn't. And I got it sent to me.
Kyle, how about?
Okay.
Kyle, do you have Healy's proposal for extending the season to the 15th?
You know, I haven't seen that drafted up yet, so I can't speak to it in any real detail.
Okay.
I would expect, based on what I saw, this kind of stuff, there'll be a bunch. I would expect there'd be several individuals and maybe even organizations saying we need to do this.
Okay. I'll make a motion to adjourn.
I'll
second that motion.
You just do it.
Okay.
7:56. Hey.
Very
good
meeting.
Hi, Kyle.
Hey.
Mark, are you still on? Thanks, John. Thanks, Mark.
Thank you. Just hung up.
I voted that.